Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the inaugural edition of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I'm your host, Jay Leno, along with my co-host, Will TLD Vampides. Will, how's it going, Will, man?
Oh my God, it's SummerSlam fever. I got my code red. I had amazing food today, thanks to your lovely wife. And I am very happy to be a part of PWP Radio at blogtalkradio.com.
Absolutely. It was a great show. But first I want to get to what Pro Wrestling Powerhouse is all about. We started in April. We got going. We got on the move. Basically, what we're doing right now is we're a media website. We're starting with blogs, interviews, articles, reviews, stuff like that. You can find us at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. But now, we are expanding. blogtalkradio.com/prowrestlingpowerhouse is where you want to be each and every single week. Tonight, we're starting off with Ben. We're going to SummerSlam right out of the chute. And we're going to start it off right now with Chris Jericho against Dolph Ziggler. Will, what do you think about Jericho versus Ziggler tonight, man?
You know, when I said this right from the beginning, if these two were to start the show, it was going to be so hard to follow. And it was so true tonight. Because those guys put on an amazing opening show. Just the back and forth action. And to have Jericho win that match was just great. It was what he needed on his way out. It's pretty clear he's on his way out. But, you know, that's pro wrestling. That's like our SummerSlam match. We think of some great SummerSlam matches like Perfect and Bret Hart. You got Owen and Bret. You got Bulldog and Bret. Yeah, they're all Bret. I'm a Bret Mark. But it's really awesome to see that. So it's pretty good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, Will is correct. Much like 10 years ago when we had Kurt Angle starting off the show against Rey Mysterio in what was a fantastic match, we went with Ziggler and Jericho this year, and let me tell you what. I thought Ziggler was going over. I thought he was going to be the man to win it and take it home, and I thought Jericho was going to put him over his way out, but they put on a fantastic show. Chris Jericho is what he is. He always delivers each and every single week. He comes out there and he does what he has to do when he's around. He's going to go tour with Fozzy. He's going to do his thing. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I'll see him Friday.
He'll put other guys over and it'll be great. But right now, folks, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty with echoing. I'm sorry about that. And we're going to take care of that in just 1 second. We will return 1 second, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We had a short issue with echoing because me and Mr. TLD are technically are in the same room, so that's going to happen. And it's our first show. It's the first time I've ever hosted a show.
Yeah, it's the first show.
We're
going to
try to
get
the right way from here on out. Will, you still with me, man?
Yeah, man, give us a break. It's only the first show, but it'll be all right.
It'll be all right, absolutely. What we're going to do tonight is just go over match for match on SummerSlam. If you did not hear in the beginning, we're going to take you through each and every one. We already went through Ziggler and Jericho. It's going to be it was a fantastic card up and down until maybe the main event. Some people are complaining about Lesnar or Triple H, but we'll get to that in the end. Also, at the top of the hour, folks, we're going to be taking calls. 760-888-5749 is your call-in number. One more time, 760-888-5749. 1-800-849-4949 is your call-in. And we'll be doing that at 12 o'clock. But right now, Will, we started off with Ziggler Jericho. We have a little bit of echoes, but we all know that was a fantastic match. Everybody watched it. Everybody saw what these two guys are really made of. And actually, I really think Ziggler's going to be better off taking this loss in the long run. He had a great, he had a big stage to show what he's really made of. But let's segue into the second match of the night, where we saw Daniel Bryan take on Kane. Will, what'd you think?
You know, Daniel Bryan, it's not about winning or losing with Daniel Bryan. It's just the crowd reacts to everything he does. And he is like today's Kurt Angle, where they would always chant, "You suck," when he comes down to the ramp. It's just like that. And ever since the 18-second boom, my God, he has improved as far as a character. Not so much the wrestling. He's a good wrestler. But as I've always said, it's never about the wrestling. It's always about the entertainment. It's about the character. And I really enjoyed the match as far as Daniel Bryan reactions. And even with the roll-up, was a phenomenal way to win, and Kane getting all pissy. It was a good way. It was a good match. I actually did enjoy it, but I do love Daniel Bryan with the yes, yes, yes. Or no, 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 whatever he wants to react to today.
Yeah, and you know, we were sitting here, and Daniel Bryan, you know, he's always up to put up a good match, no matter who it's with. He showed it with Kane tonight. In their previous feud with CM Punk involved, he showed that he can always deliver. As everybody knows, I'm a big, big, big fan of Daniel Bryan. And what he did tonight is just he proved it. He proved it even more. He went out there with Kane and delivered on a big stage, and that's what we like. Not everybody can have a great match with Kane. That's plain and simple. And we were sitting here, and our good friend Eric Santa Maria from the Wrestling Roundtable, you can find him at WrestlingRoundtable.com, literally 5 seconds before the finish happened with a small package, he called it. He called it. He said, "I wish Daniel Bryan finishes with..." Yeah, he called it Run of the Month. He said, "I wish he had finished with a small package." He used to do it in Ring of Honor all the time.
Yeah, he tweeted that like crazy.
Exactly, yeah. And it was a great call. It was a great way to finish the match. Came out of nowhere. And, you know, Daniel Bryan just moves right up the ladder. Hopefully they have another match somewhere down the line. I'm not sure what road these two are going to go down. But for my money, it was two solid matches to kick off the card. But what about match number three? What about The Miz and Rey Mysterio? What did you think, Will?
Well, he had a Batman costume tonight. And you can't argue with a great Batman costume. You know, that was cool. I thought the match was very good. You know, people really hate Rey Mysterio. And this is just something that bothers me. And the fans that like him, or fans mostly dislike him, I don't understand why. And I would like to hear a perspective maybe on someone who calls in on why people just don't like him, you know, as a wrestler or as anything. I just don't get it because he's a great wrestler in the ring. Again, when has he ever put on a bad match? He really doesn't. I mean, so, and he made The Miz look great. And The Miz won convincingly. He didn't win by cheating. He won, you know, convincingly tonight. And I thought Miz is great. Miz is one of my favorite top five wrestlers on TLC's top list of top wrestlers. And it's hard to get up there.
Well, see, you love The Miz. I have a completely different perspective on this. I'm not a huge fan of The Miz. He had a good run. I mean, he did what he could do back when he was a champion. You know, he put up some
good
matches.
He's a Marine.
Yeah, he was over. He was really over back then. But he really hasn't done anything for me in the match department as of late. But tonight, once again, this is the third match of the card. And Rey Mysterio and The Miz delivered. Much like you were alluding to why people hate Rey Mysterio so much. I personally think it's this John Cena heat. It's the heat that John Cena started to get in 2006, 2007, where all the fans from the Attitude Era and from that Ruthless Aggression Era were all just rebelling. And that seems to be carrying over a little bit into what happens with Rey Mysterio. He's getting a lot of shit from the fans, but the fact of the matter is he delivers each and every single week when he's out there, when he's not injured, when he's not battling drug problems, whatever his deal is. He always seems to deliver, and tonight was no different. I'm glad The Miz went over. Rey Mysterio did his job. He gave The Miz and the Intercontinental title a little credibility, which is something that it desperately needs. It needs a long-reign champion. It needs somebody to really get that belt back on the map. Because if WWE wants to bring a new generation of talents, guys from NXT, guys like Seth Rollins, Cassius Ohno, You even got the Derek Bateman, who I'm not too fond of, but guy's got a good look. You know, you bring him up.
Give him
a mid-card title that means something eventually. You know, a guy like Damian Sandow is really good as well. Bring him up, give him a mid-card title, and the only way that's going to work is if you give him some credibility. What are your thoughts on the Intercontinental title and what the future holds for it? I mean, The Miz, he looks like he's going to be a long-reigning champion at this point. He got the Rey Mysterio. It's been his toughest test yet. What do you think the future holds for The Miz and the Intercontinental Championship?
The Miz needs to keep that title. We need to have, like, a Cody Rhodes reign. I love Cody Rhodes as a champion. You know, the way he honored it, the way he defended it. Miz has got to be above that. And it's got to be on the level of Shawn Michaels or Razor, when they take that belt to a newer level that we haven't seen in a long time. And maybe it depends on who he faces or if there's a fresh face in the feud. You know, we'll see what happens. I don't think Miz is going to be a long-term champion because of his Marine commitments or whatever he's doing, but right now I'm happy where it is, and we need to get another younger star that is feeding for that belt, and we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to The Miz. Miz is awesome, hashtag.
You love The Miz. I've known that for a long time, and that's perfectly fine.
He's awesome. You know,
yeah.
He made a better WrestleMania.
I know. He reminds us about that every week. It's more or less like what Chris Jericho says when he keeps bringing up his undisputed championship, beat The Rock and Stone Cold in the same night bullshit. But, you know, I got to give it to The Miz. He's doing what he can. He's trying to give that belt some legitimacy, and that's all we can really ask for right now. But let's take that and let's segue into our next contest, which, shockingly enough, the World Heavyweight Championship match, it came, let's say, a little late in the card. We're used to it going on first, maybe second, but we got Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus, and in my eyes, this is when SummerSlam started to take a little bit of a dive. We started off hot. Three fantastic matches in a row, had the crowd going the right direction, but if you know me, you know I fucking hate Sheamus. Excuse my language. I hate this guy. I think he's garbage. He's not a good babyface whatsoever. To have this long of a World Heavyweight title reign is just blasphemous. I'm going to use a big word. He ain't Sheamus. He's blasphemous. He's, it's just lame. He's not funny. His shtick is getting worn out so quick. And, again, we get another match with Alberto Del Rio. And, Will, what'd you think of this one?
Well, I thought you were going to be shooting on Sheamus. You can keep going if you want.
Well, I'm not gonna go all out right now. I want you to give us your insight on the match itself, because he didn't put on a bad performance tonight. I'm not saying he puts on a bad performance in the ring each and every week. I'm just sick of the guy. I'm sick of his character. But give us your insight on the match, and then you'll hear a little more of my beef against Sheamus.
Okay. So the match itself, Sheamus does not put on bad matches. I always go back to the Extreme Rules match where he kind of proved to me he could really go when he faced Daniel Bryan in that 2 out of 3 falls. That, to me, turned my corner around as far as a wrestler. Now, his comedy act or his character is not what it used to be, and yes, it is kind of dumb. It makes him look a little silly, but he's convincingly beating people in the ring. But after tonight, he did the biggest heel thing you could possibly do. And what was that, Jay?
Well, yeah, you thought it was a heel thing. I thought
it's a heel thing. Coming from a guy who did pro wrestling and was a heel, that is a heel thing. He took his foot off the rope and pinned him. How is that not a heel thing?
Maybe you got a point. Maybe it's a heel act, but I think it's more of just Sheamus being sneaky. I don't think it's going to lead to a heel turn for this guy. I see him and Alberto Del Rio going at it for another month. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to lead to anything.
Here's the problem. That's the problem. It's not going to lead to a heel turn. That's the problem. Because if he was to turn heel right there, you heard the crowd. They booed when Sheamus won because of how he won. I mean, that just made it really bad for him, because that's the last image of the World Heavyweight Champion, who's supposed to be the face of SmackDown, cheats to win his match. Not Eddie Guerrero style. You know, he cheats to win in a way that was, he was trying to be sneaky and keep his title. And it was definitely too heelish for me, especially that Alberto really didn't do any heelish moves in the match that were like he cheated or did much. He really didn't do anything. So that's why I didn't like the finish, and it makes Sheamus, it's going to make Sheamus look bad. And I don't think that's going to help him. So as far as his wrestling ability, he's good, but that, the way he won the night and the way his character, it just made it worse for him. So for all you young ladies and Sheamus and Irish fans, you're not going to be happy with Sheamus over the next few months. I'm telling you that now.
Yeah, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. Although, you know, I didn't believe what you were saying when we watched the show. I didn't get when you were talking about, you know, heel turn as a heel tactic. I just thought it was sneaky. I just thought he was trying to get one over on the referee. And I think you're going to see that come up on SmackDown. I think you're going to see, you know, Booker T probably call him out on that and probably give Alberto Del Rio a rematch off the bat. As far as the match was concerned, we'll take it back a notch. As far as the match, they put on a decent match. Alberto Del Rio, he worked his ass off tonight to make Sheamus look as good as he possibly could. And I'm not the biggest Del Rio fan, but he worked his ass off. His arm breaker looked good. He hit him with a knife in the gurry. At some point, it was a hard-hitting match. They did their thing. It was better than their match last month. I give them both props on that. However, the feud is stale. Sheamus is stale. He needs something new. He needs a heel to really push him to the level, to really make a feud personal. I don't know if this has hit that personal level.
Do you think Big Show would be the answer?
I think Big Show could be the answer. As much as people listening right now are not going to want to hear it, somebody said in the chat room right now, Finley. I think Finley could be a good guy. Finley's back there in the WWE. He's a backstage guy. But no, listen, Finley. Finley's got some
of his. Oh, man, no one remembers Finley. I'm telling you that now. Just from an audience of kids, they're not going to remember Finley. They already had a thing in ECW, I think, too.
Yeah, you might be right, but I'm thinking anybody.
No,
right
I am
now.
Right.
I'm not telling you you're not right. I'm saying you might be right. I'm saying it's possible you might be right, you might be wrong. Finley might not be the guy. Here we go. Entertainment Incorporated in the chat room is saying Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett would be fucking perfect. We need to
I
get
think
Sheamus.
Wade Barrett would be better.
Absolutely. He would be better. Wade Barrett should come back and go right for the title. He should come back and just, don't worry, don't give him the Ryback treatment where he's squashing bullshit jobbers and 2-on-1, whatever. Wade Barrett should come back.
Yeah, Wade Barrett's going to be established. He's already established as a guy. I don't think he's going to get that kind of treatment. I think he'll get put right into something good.
Yeah, Wade Barrett versus Sheamus would be a nice little touch to get us away from this Alberto Del Rio feud, because he really needs to get away. But anyway, Sheamus retains the World Heavyweight Championship. And I know we're 12 minutes early, but I got a couple callers on hold. So right now I'm going to take our first caller.
Oh, this is history in the making, ladies and gentlemen.
History. First caller, PWP Radio, 424 area code. You're on the air with PWP Radio. Hello, 424.
Oh, ruin the moment.
424, you there? Oh, what's up, man? How you doing, brother? Woo, are you there?
Nah, he left.
No, I think we're having an issue with Wu. I think there's some kind of... We're going to drop the call, Wu, but Wu, make sure you call back. We're going to take another phone call. We got another guy on hold. It looks like the 609 area code. 609, I know where you're at, buddy. What do you got to say to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio?
Wu, you know it, bro.
Who am I talking to right now?
You're talking to Jay.
Jay, what's up, man? What do you got to say to PWP tonight?
Well, I have to disagree. You know, that you guys are asking for someone to call in and talk about why the fans don't like Rey Mysterio. I got three reasons for you. One, he can't stay and pass a drug test for more than 2 months. Two, he's fat. and three, you can't invest in the guy because he could get injured every other match. So the fans don't care. They get turned off on it because you could see him there for a stretch of a month and then he's gone for a year. You never know.
Yeah, you got a good point. Rey Mysterio, he can never really build up that momentum. He had it for a minute when he was feuding with Kane, stuff like that. He had some momentum going, but you got a great point there. He never really built that momentum up, and that's something each and every single wrestler needs to really get over. What do you think about that, Will?
Well, when he became World Heavyweight Champion, everybody got real mad at him because he used Eddie Guerrero to kind of get that belt, and that's really honestly where it started. That's at least my opinion. Okay, the drug problems are a problem, yes. You know, the guy's got bad knees. He's got a very, you know, he's been in the business a long time, you know. And, yeah, he is more kid-friendly. I don't say he's fat, but, you know, he's in better condition than I am. But, you know, he's still a very talented individual. But, yes, the momentum thing does hurt when he gets off TV once in a while. I mean, it's been a year since we've seen him. It was kind of nice to see him tonight. It was very refreshing, at least for me.
Yeah, he put on a good show. He's noticeably slower. Like before, I brought up the Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio match from SummerSlam 2002. And I know it was 10 years ago and 150
knee surgeries ago. It's 10 years ago, Jay.
I know, 10 years ago. I know, I got you. But you can just tell with a Lucha Libre-style guy like that, if you're not able to hit those moves crisp and sharp, they just look, you know, too choreographed. You know, if it's that slow, it doesn't really have the same effect. And maybe that's got something to do with the Mysterio, the lack of babyface, I guess, reaction he's getting from fans that are around our age, around, like, you know, late 20s. We're not really as much in the Rey Mysterio as kids might be. But we got Woo back on the line. Let's bring Woo back on the line. See what he's got to say. Hey, Woo, what do you got to say, brother?
Hey, I just have to say one thing about the Rey Mysterio hate. Like, I'm sorry, but it's kind of like Ricky Steamboat. Like, everybody says about Ricky Steamboat. Who the hell wants to boo Rey Mysterio? What's not to like about this guy?
No, you're absolutely right, man. Ricky Steamboat was the type of guy that was always a baby face. I never saw him turn heel. I don't think he ever turned heel in his career. And he was the ultimate babyface, the best babyface. Ric Flair called him the best babyface of all time. Or Ric Flair called himself the best wrestler of all time because he can work heel. But yeah, Ricky Steamboat was probably one of the best babyfaces, and that might be the territory of Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I might have been the only one in WCW back in the day, but when Russo made the Filthy Animals heel and Rey Mysterio going out there doing heel promos, I wanted to laugh. I couldn't take it seriously. It's like, dude, you're smaller than I am at the time, still am probably, and you're trying to act like a heel, but Kevin Nash is the baby face who could probably squash you with one clothesline. He did that with many people in WCW, quite honestly.
That's an absolutely great point. WCW had a million and one issues, and if you watch that stupid, ridiculous Argue Series program on WWE.com, they'll tell you that WCW ruined everything. I don't agree with them whatsoever, but in this case, Vince Russo tried to take Rey Mysterio back then and turn him into something he absolutely was not. And right now, he's more of where he should have always been, wearing the mask,
yeah,
being a high-flying babyface. And he showed tonight at SummerSlam that he can help get a guy like The Miz over. And it's something that I know, Will, you love him, but it's something that The Miz seriously needs. Thank you for your call, Will. We really appreciate it.
The Miz did not need Rey Mysterio. The Miz is just,
You love The Miz. He just needs credibility. That's what he needs. He needs some credibility.
He's a WWE champion, a main eventer at WrestleMania. Well, what credibility can you possibly need?
All right. So that's our talk for The Miz for tonight. Let's move on to the next match, Will. I know you love The Miz, but we got to move on. We're going into the WWE Tag Team title match. Now, I'm not sure when the last WWE Tag Team title match was held at a SummerSlam. It could have been years.
Oh,
it could have been last year. I don't know. If anybody's got the answer to that, please call in. Your call-in number, once again, ladies and gentlemen, 760-888-5749. That's 760-888-5749. Please call in. Tell me when the last WWE Tag Title match was at SummerSlam. Because I don't know. Do you know, Will? Do you have any idea?
You know, the person that calls in and finds out gets a free visit to my website at tldwrestling.com.
There, plug. There we go. I love it. But this time we have the Primetime Players, 2012. The Primetime Players might be the future of the tag division. They seem to be on a roll. They kind of had a little setback losing their manager, which tonight we might not really get into too much, but we can save that for another episode. But the Primetime Players tried to take the tag team championships from Kofi Kingston and R-Truth in a match that, you know, it was solid. It wasn't anything spectacular, but what do you have to think about the match, Will?
Well, the crowd wasn't really into the match, but this was like the first one that tag match that got built up to actually be something on the show. Like, it actually had like a reasoning. You know, it was very surprising, the finish. I don't know if I like the finish. I think that kind of, I wasn't too keen on the finish of how the Primetime Players did not get the tag belt. You know, but the crowd wasn't really into it anyway. So it was kind of like, well, if they would have won the belts, you know, the crowd probably wouldn't have reacted that well anyway. So it was almost like, you know, it was great, but it wasn't good, you know. I don't think R-Truth and, you know, Kofi are good tag wrestlers. I think they're great singles wrestlers. I don't think they're great as a tag team, though. They just don't do it for me. You know, Primetime Players have been acting like a team for months. Not only on this show, but on NXT. And they've been a team for a while. So, you know, it was good, but the crowd just wasn't into it.
You got a point. Yeah, the Primetime Players are trying to become established as a tag team, whereas Kofi and R-Truth, they're kind of just Kofi and R-Truth. They're like any other thrown-together tag team that the WWE has done. They tried to do it with Kofi and Evan Bourne just recently, and we all know the issues Evan Bourne has had. So they took the closest thing they could to Evan Bourne, which sadly looks like it's R-Truth, and put him with Kofi to try to make a tag team, but it just doesn't seem to work. Kofi's a singles guy. Kofi is your guy who you want to work with The Miz to have a good intercontinental title feud. Again, give The Miz some credibility. Give a guy like our new United States champion, Antonio Cesaro, give him some credibility by facing a guy like Kofi Kingston. The Primetime Players needed this victory, Will. You're absolutely right. They needed to win this match. This was their moment to shine. And they lost AEW. It set them back. AEW was a big part of their presentation as a whole when he came out with them. They lost their manager. And they really needed something to give them a boost. And by losing another tag team title match, I don't think it was accomplished.
Well, just to give you the last time the tag belts were defended, when it was the Undisputed Tag Titles, and that was in 2009, it was Jericho and Crime Time. That's how far we're going back.
We're going back 3 years. And, who just brought that up in the chat room? Yeah, Jericho defeated Crime Time. That, you know what?
Yeah.
I knew it was a long time. I knew it was. And
I agree with you with the credibility of the team. But maybe we'll see something happen on Raw. Who knows? Maybe another team will pop up in the picture. We'll see what happens with them.
All right, Will, we're going to take another caller here.
We're
going to take a caller. It's a 408 area code. What's your name and where you're from, 408?
This is Jamal Riddles calling from San Jose, California.
My man, Jamal. How you doing, brother?
Doing fine. I just pretty much got off work and just actually got online, looked up the results of SummerSlam. For obvious reasons, I can't watch it because I don't have cable, I'm a privilege to you and anything. And I'm just looking at the results. Yeah, I agree. Primetime Players should have won the tag team title. CM Punk winning, that was obvious. Antonio Cesaro winning the United States Championship, awesome. And you know, they should just really just stop doing dark matches with title matches. They should just have them live on television. and Brock Lesnar tapping out Triple H. Awesome. I'm very tempted to buy the CD, buy the DVD if it comes out.
Well, Jamal, wait before you buy that DVD. Before you buy that DVD, you gotta wait and listen to what we talk about Brock Lesnar and Triple H, because the result was good, but the match, maybe wasn't as good. But thanks for your call, Jamal. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate your calls, Jamal. We appreciate your contributions to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse thus far. But we're going to move on. We're going to move on to one of the biggest matches of the night. We're talking about The Big Show. John Cena and CM Punk triple threat match for the WWE Championship. Now, this is a match with a lot of controversy involved. The ball got rolling when CM Punk laid out The Rock at Raw 1000. And here we are. It's the culmination of this feud. So, Will, WWE title match. This could have gone three ways. We know which way it went. CM Punk retained. What did you think about this match?
Well, it was done very well as far as keeping John Cena and CM Punk apart. That just shows you what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep those two away from each other. So now if you really think about it, SummerSlam was just a way to kind of keep them apart and let Big Show destroy both guys. But in the end, two different submission holds. They take down the Big Show. Both men get the win as far as the submission. The match is restarted by that crazy chick, AJ Lee, from New Jersey, by the way. And she restarts it, and then CM Punk wins the match in a very heelish way by throwing Cena out of the ring after an AA and pins the Big Show. So I thought that was a great way to end it because, again, Punk is over in the crowd. He wasn't really booed that much tonight, but in the end, he kind of did, like I said, what a Sheamus did earlier. He kind of did a heel trick by throwing Cena out and pinning him, and those two really didn't touch each other except for breaking up pinfalls. So it gets CM Punk looking good at that tweener role. It looks like Cena would have won the match, and Big Show did exactly what he was supposed to do, break those two up, dominate those two. He looked really strong in that match. You know, at a point, we almost thought he was going to win the match after the match restarted. So it was. I thought it was a very good WWE Championship match. And from the results of the show, it looked like that could have ended the whole show.
Yeah, it absolutely could have. And let's go back to CM Punk and his heelish tactics. And that's what I've been saying all month, is CM Punk, it has turned heel, but he hasn't turned on fans. He's not turned on the fans yet, and that is where the power lies, within the palm of his hands, as the Ultimate Warrior would say. He has the fans in the palm of his hands. At any moment, he can crush them, and they will turn on him in a heartbeat. But he has yet to do that. He's acting like a heel towards AJ, acting like a heel towards Cena, and so on. But he's not a full-blown heel yet. He's a tweener. He's in between. He was celebrating his victory with the fans, and he was doing it in a cocky, arrogant way that only he really can get away with at this point. Cena gets away with it, but CM Punk can really get away with it as a tweener. The ending of the match, the culmination of the match, was pretty awesome in my opinion. I liked the double submission. That Koji clutch that CM Punk pulled out of his ass, and Eric Santa Maria, once again, from the Wrestling Roundtable, visit them at WrestlingRoundtable.com, he mentioned that he stole that move from Christopher Daniels, which is completely true, but CM Punk brought it to a big stage. It's an awesome move. It set up that false finish where Cena and Punk both put their submissions on the Big Show, caused AJ to come out, restart the match, yada, yada, yada. But the way Punk won, it was almost like, it reminds me of how Sheamus retained when the Nexus came out and beat the piss out of Randy Orton, and he just snuck in the back door at Fatal 4-Way back in 2010 and won at the last second. It kind of reminds you of that. It was a heel tactic. It was something where you're not turning on the fans, but the fans are getting pissed off of you, and that was smart booking. I thought it was a good WWE title match. I liked how Big Show was dominant throughout the match, and they really pulled it off. They pulled off a match when I thought they might not be able to, He said John Cena is sometimes awkward. Big Show is really awkward to work with certain guys. But these three are professionals. They really pulled it off, and I was happy with this match. And we got 609 back on the line. It looks like your buddy Jay is back with us on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Jay, you're on the air. What's up, man?
I just want to say that TLD is the greatest wrestler in the world, and he may be fatter than Rey Mysterio, but we love Will a hell of a lot more. Keep it up, Will.
His girlfriend's hot. His girlfriend's hot as shit, too.
That's true. All that is true, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so Jay calls, he puts over Will. That's awesome. You know, TLD is awesome. He's a great, fantastic wrestler, fantastic entertainer. And that's something that we're going to talk about on a future episode, because I know, Will, you're into the entertainment aspect of wrestling. We have this conversation, this debate all the time, where I personally, I like the hard-hitting style. I like when you get good wrestling matches night in and night out. And that's going to be a debate we're going to have on a future episode. So everybody who's listening right now, I appreciate it. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Make sure you visit www.prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. We are an article, blog, website. We got a lot going on. The future is bright. We just got started. Things are looking up right now. We're featuring the Wrestling Realm. We're featuring Titus TV. Will and I were about to produce our own video show within the next month, which is going to be off the charts. We're going to do something that's a little more social media oriented. So if you like what you're listening to, if you like what you're hearing, stay tuned, because this is just the beginning. And make sure you call in. If you're listening right now and you got anything else to say, call in at 760-888-5749. Go ahead, Will.
Make sure also we are available on iTunes. Always remember that if you want to get this episode, it'll be up within the next throughout the evening, and you can catch us on iTunes as well. And, yes, we should have somewhat of a Raw interactive right on the show. That'd be pretty cool. Can't wait for the video portion of the show. But iTunes, you can catch all the episodes after they're done and download them to your awesome Apple products.
Yeah, there we go. Awesome. You can put an Apple over. I love it. We will be available on iTunes. Will is correct. We have a lot to go over in the next months, years. We're going to be going back in the history of wrestling. We're going to be talking about what's going on today. And that's what we are going to dive into right now, because we have a lot of time left in the show. We got about 22 minutes left. But SummerSlam really got going. It got going with a bang. It got going hot and fast. As we went over, the first three matches were really good. The show, in my opinion, started to take a little bit of a dive, but it really picked back up during, you know, what Big Show, Cena, and CM Punk brought us. But now, after a bullshit Kevin Rudolph performance, which I'm glad
that
didn't really...
Oh, yeah, we should have put that over.
Yeah, you know what? The best part about this...
Kevin Rudolph. I didn't even know he was white.
I thought he was a black guy.
Absolutely. Thought it was a black guy. He just sounds like a black guy's name, doesn't he? Kevin Rudolph.
This was the biggest bullshit time killer I've ever seen in my life. Now, this was this whole portion between the WWE title match, and Triple H Lesnar was different. You know, we got plugs, we got Kevin Rudolph, highlights from Cesaro versus Santino Marella.
Slim Jim commercials.
This could have taken place in the place for Kevin Rudolph. We did not need Kevin Rudolph. Don't get me wrong, I like seeing Alicia Fox and the rest of the Gorgeous Divas. But we did not meet Kevin Rudolph on this card. But, Will, the best part about this whole little time segment between CM Punk and Brock Lesnar was Fred Durst straight up flipping off the camera. That came out of left field. I didn't know if Fred Durst was still relevant whatsoever. But he stuck a middle finger.
He is now. Yeah.
Now he's relevant. He stuck a middle finger right in the camera. So what do you got to say about that?
And they could delay that. You know they could delay that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you look at it, they could definitely delay that, but they allowed Fred Durst to flip off the camera and get trending on Twitter right after that. It couldn't be better. That's definitely PG, ladies and gentlemen. If I would imagine if I had a child right now and my five-year-old was watching and saw Fred Durst flipping off the camera, you know how many buyers they probably would lose right after that?
So, exactly.
I mean, wow.
Especially a guy that half the audience watching. I know everybody in our room did tonight. Everybody knew who Fred Durst is. But half the audience watching had no idea who the hell this guy is. And believe it or not, I was a Limp Bizkit fan. I am mad enough to admit.
I am too.
Yeah, you're mad enough to admit that I love
Limp
Bizkit
growing up. Gentlemen.
Yeah, according to Tony Chimmel at WrestleMania 19, they are the WWE's favorite band. And I was sad to know, Will, I hope I'm not breaking this news to you, but just the other day, I believe it was, I want to say it was Thursday or Friday afternoon, I was on Twitter, and I found out that Fred Durst has officially disbanded Limp Bizkit once and for all.
Well, we should have, like, a WWE, like, show dedicated to Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit for all the great music they came out with. WrestleMania 17, one of my favorite theme songs, you know, and also Undertaker's theme song. Yeah, they contributed to the Attitude Era.
Yeah, you can't forget about the Crack Addict song Limp Bizkit had during WrestleMania
19. Hell yeah.
Yeah, damn right. I'm a crack addict between The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that whole build up. That song fit perfectly. So Fred Durst caused a little bit of controversy. I popped for Maria Menounos in her Bob Backlund shirt. She's pretty hot,
yes.
And she made Bob Backlund.
David Arquette with the world title.
Yeah.
And David Arquette with the world title.
That was also a Marquette moment. I almost forgot about him. We noticed him in the background earlier on in the show. We noticed David Arquette sitting there just staring into outer space. But holding up the world heavyweight title, that was definitely a moment. You know,
he held a world title more than half of that roster. That's the bad part. He's the world champion, and half of that, he was a world champion before Rey Mysterio was.
He actually, he actually has a right to hold up that belt. He has a right to take that belt and hold it in the air and be like, fuck you, you know, I've been the world heavyweight champion, Jerry the King Lawler, you have not held this belt, you douche. You know, you've held maybe that bullshit title, but this is the real deal, and I held it. So it was cool seeing David Arquette. You know, this whole part with Kevin Rudolph was a bunch of bullshit, but it was a lighthearted segment. Before we got to what they were calling the perfect storm, I don't know how many times after the show went off, we saw that stupid promo with the
six Thunderstruck. I didn't even know they were doing that. A perfect storm. And then I was like, oh, the F5, I get it. Now I got it.
Yeah, apparently, Brock Lesnar, that's his new nickname. That's his new nickname, the Perfect Storm. I did not know this.
I like it.
That is his new nickname. It's pretty good. It's better than calling him still the next big thing or the new old thing or whatever you want to call him or just, you know,
right.
Brock Lesnar, the fighter. Brock Lesnar, the former UFC champion. It's better than all that stuff. So we got the Perfect Storm, Brock Lesnar, taking on your boy, Triple H. This was the main event. It's what everybody's wanted to see for months. We're talking months of build-up to this match. And, Will, this was the moment of truth for SummerSlam. What did you think about Triple H versus Brock Lesnar?
If we did not see John Cena versus Brock Lesnar at Backlash, I think we wouldn't be as angry. But because we had a big, high expectation build and, you know, a big, like, and John Cena had the match with Brock Lesnar. I think we were expecting something like that, but we didn't get that. We got kind of a regular paced match, which didn't really have that many surprises in the match. And it does fall below expectations, I think. I think that fans are going to be angry because I don't really blame Lesnar, because I think Lesnar would have done the same performance as he did with Cena. But I don't think Triple H was ready for that. You know, I just don't think the hype was built up. But the ending of the match was really good. I liked the ending of the match. but I just wasn't a fan of the entire presentation of how that match went. Because the way they build up Shawn Michaels getting hurt, the way they build up he wants to fight him, it didn't look like a fight. A fight to me is when I walk up to somebody like Will Brooks and punch him in the face and punch him until he stays down, you know. But that did not happen, and, you know, it didn't feel like that. It felt very slow. And it's a shame because I thought it does hurt the show overall. I think it's going to hurt the show, but in the end of the day, Brock Lesnar wins. He looks strong. He makes Triple H tap out. And not many people get to make Triple H tap out often. So I look at it like that. You know, in the end, if Triple H would have won, I think we would be putting this where the Lesnar versus Goldberg match, if Triple H won. But because of the way the ending went, I think it's not as bad as everyone's going to probably say it is.
Yeah, you know what?
Your rebuttal, please.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Will. I really think you did when talking about how the Brock Lesnar-John Cena match at Extreme Rules was the fight that we expected to see tonight. We expected to see Brock Lesnar and Triple H really go all out, really just put it all out on the line, and that is something that we did not get. It started out as just your stereotypical wrestling match, just your hard-hitting powerhouse, no pun intended, wrestling match between the two. And it's something that I didn't really expect. I thought we'd see weapons. I thought they were going to pay homage to the match 10 years ago a little bit between Triple H and Shawn Michaels, where it was unsanctioned, where it was a brawl. That was more of a fight than this was. It's like we were talking about earlier. The right result happened. Brock Lesnar needed this win, and I talked about it at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I gave a great article, scenarios and where they can go from here with Brock Lesnar. And he needed to win this match, and he did. And that was the right thing. However, I don't think Triple H really did his job to get Brock Lesnar over the way he should have. Brock Lesnar absorbed two pedigrees, you know, popped up with the fighting spirit, whatever you want to call that thing, and put him in the Kimura, ended it on the tap out. But Triple H got his fucking ass kicked at WrestleMania by The Undertaker. Like, those two guys beat the living piss out of each other at WrestleMania. You saw the wealth in their bodies. You saw the blood coming off of their skin. And at SummerSlam, I know Linda just won the Senate race, whatever. She's got a shot to be in the Senate. But you're talking about your second biggest show of the year. You're talking about a true fighter in Brock Lesnar, a guy who beat the living shit out of John Cena, and they went to the extreme, they went to the level, they went to the edge. But Triple H can't really give Brock his best? I just didn't see it. I just didn't get it. And another thing that bothered me about this match was when Triple H took advantage of Brock's midsection, the surgery he's had in the past with the diverticulitis, and it's something that WWE did not talk about once. We didn't even hear them mention that in the couple of months that Brock Lesnar's been back. You just expect your fair-weather crowd, all these children and whatnot, the PG era, you expect them to know that Brock Lesnar had diverticulitis and his part of his intestine removed? You can't expect that. It was almost like you could hear crickets in the building when Brock was selling the stomach because you just didn't understand why. And Triple H, to his credit, did a good job in beating it down.
I look at it like this. You know, he did get his stomach did hit the corner of the table, which could explain that. But going back to, remember I told you earlier while this match was going on, why Triple H couldn't say something that said, I know your weakness. And he could have exploited that before the show. And instead of, you know, Triple H's arm, you know, is weak. So why not have Lesnar have a weakness? And then it would have made a little more sense because Lesnar was really spitting up and, you know, you could see in his face like he was really hurt. You know, when he was getting hurt, I felt like he was, like we were all standing up like, was he really hurt? You know, so it looked real. And Triple H did not sell it enough to me where it looked real enough where he was hurt. You know, but Lesnar, I thought, did.
Yeah, he did a great job of selling. He did a good job of selling the injury. The problem I have with it is that, you know, Michael Cole's job is to let the crowd know. He tell the story. You're telling me if Jim Ross, now I'm getting a little bit off track here, but if Jim Ross was calling this match, we would have heard about it 20 times that Brock Lesnar had diverticulitis and, you know, he had surgeries and whatnot, and he had to pull out a UFC fight. And that was the cause for a couple of his losses in the UFC, was because he was either protecting the midsection, like against Cain Velasquez, or getting nailed in it, like against Alistair Overeem. That was a part of it. And it's something that Jim Ross would have alluded to, but Michael Cole just did not. But right now, we have a caller, and you're calling your 856 area code, and I'd like to know your name and exactly where you're from, please.
Oh, you don't have my number saved, Jay? That's insulting.
Yo, Will Brooks.
Oh, man.
Will Brooks,
hey,
from the Wrestling
doing?
Roundtable. Yeah, I'm great, Will. I was sorry that you couldn't come over tonight. We had a good time. We had a lot of good food. My beautiful girlfriend.
I believe it, dude. I would have loved to have been there. I really would have. I was at a party last night, man. I woke up really hungover, and I'm like, you know what? Do I really want to drive an hour and a half to the seaside? I was like, you know what? Let me just order at my house, and now I'm feeling better, so that's why I'm calling in. I feel like, hey, I should be a part of you guys' first show. Say, hey, good luck and everything.
Well, did you hear what Will just had to say about you? Because he just brought your name up about, I'm going to say 5 minutes ago, not even. He just brought your name up.
Really? I didn't know that. I mean, I was listening to you a little bit before, then I left to take a shower, and I saw you just post on Facebook, you know, call in now. I'm like, you know, hey, fuck it, I'll call in.
Oh, I'm not here to start fights. You don't have to mention that.
Now I'm intrigued. He mentioned it, now I got to know.
No, you have to listen to download it on iTunes, and you'll hear everything.
But well, now I can't defend myself. I want to hear what you
said. He used you as an analogy. He basically just used you as an analogy, and it wasn't a big deal. But I think the heat is still there between Will and Will. I don't know. Should we bring back Battle of the Wills? I don't know. Maybe we should bring it back.
Well, he already lost that.
I wanted to. He didn't. I wanted to. I wanted the redemption. He didn't want it.
I had retired from picking rosters on WWE and TNA rosters.
Uh-huh.
He's retired as champion.
Anyway.
Hey, Will, did you see SummerSlam tonight?
I ordered it, dude. I thought it was a great pay-per-view. I thought every match was good. I liked how all the endings worked. I really thought they booked it very, very well, especially for time, which is shocking. But, no, I was happy. The only thing I wasn't happy with, though, was I really feel like if the primetime players still would have Abraham Washington, they probably would have won the title tonight. I think Abraham Washington was really good for them, and he was really helping them get over. And without him, the team's just not as good. So I really feel if he was still there, they would have won the title tonight. But that's really like the only thing I probably would have changed. Everything else I thought was perfect. Claudio getting the U.S. title was awesome. I thought all the matches were good. I thought the endings to the Alberto Del Rio getting screwed, to John Cena getting, like, you know, pushed out of the ring so CM Punk can win. I thought everything was great.
What did you think about Brock Lesnar and Triple H? We're talking about Brock and Triple H to close the show. We got a little over 6 minutes left, and we both kind of think that it lacked the kind of extreme fighting style that the match between Brock and John Cena had. It was more of your normal wrestling match. What were your thoughts about Brock and Triple H?
To be honest with you, I have a problem with, not just because my hatred for Triple H is pretty well documented. I have a problem with the fact that John Cena, who's like the biggest star, could barely land a punch against Brock Lesnar. Yet Triple H was able to clothesline him out of the ring and make him run away every week on Raw. And then this match, yeah, like you said, it was run like a regular match. Now, I wasn't expecting the same shit-kicking that he gave John Cena, but I still felt that he kind of controlled most of the match. So it wasn't, like, as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I was very happy to see that he won by tap-out, which I thought was, you know, really good because it was kind of wasn't surprising, but it was surprising that Triple H would, you know, tap out. So I didn't have a problem with it overall, but I had a problem with the build, if that makes sense.
What was your problem with the build? I mean, I thought they really amped it up last week on Raw. If you saw, like, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com had one of his biggest days just because searches were up on WWE in general. Like, people were talking about the fact that Brock Lesnar broke Shawn Michaels' arm, Triple H's best friend. And I think they really – I think the build was kind of stale up until that moment where Brock Lesnar snaps Shawn Michaels' arm. I thought that's where they really got it.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that with the when you beat up Shawn Michaels, because the whole wall was leading like Shawn Michaels was scared shitless, as anybody would be, because it's Brock Lesnar, he's coming after you, you know. So, and I was okay with it. The only thing I didn't like was how like they cut the camera, but, because immediately my mind went right back, and I know you guys can agree with me. My mind immediately went right back to Pillman has a gun, you know. When they cut the camera, you're like, oh come on, I want to see this shit, man, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I thought that whole sequence of events was awkward, even when they came back on Raw and they were showing the touts. And earlier in the night, this happened where you're in the main event slot. They were almost giving away the fact that something was going to happen that wasn't going to be a match. Oh. It was going to be something outside the ring, you know?
Yeah. But the other thing, like, the thing I did like, though, was after Brock Lesnar broke, you know, Shawn Michaels' arm, you had Paul Heyman was like, oh, shit, what did I just do? Like, what did I do? I unleashed Brock Lesnar. Now I can't control him, you know what I mean? Maybe they'll run a storyline with that later on, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like what they did back in, like, 03. Like, you know, like, when Paul Heyman was like, you can't beat the Big Show. He's like, well, fuck you, I will beat the Big Show. And he did, but by that time, Paul Heyman was like, no, too late, dude, I already left you.
Yeah, you know, you got a great point there. And, Noah, well, thanks for calling, man. This was a pleasant surprise. I appreciate it, and we're going to be back.
Yeah, a big surprise.
Yeah, we're going to be back on the air on a weekly basis. If you follow us on Twitter at PW Powerhouse, like us on Facebook, that's facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can find us on iTunes. Join our group at Facebook, which is basically facebook.com/group/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. And like I said, go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for all your updates on the show and what we're going to be doing. Will Brooks, thanks for calling. We do appreciate it. Now, we got about 3 minutes left, Will. What, and we're back with Will Vasitas, TLD, Mr. Tommy Lee Danger. What are your final thoughts on SummerSlam?
Well, my final thoughts first is, how much is it to go to your website?
How much is it? It's absolutely free.
Oh, my. Then you have to go to the website.
You have to go. You got nothing to lose.
It's absolutely free. SummerSlam, I'm going to use my TLD grade point scale level from a 1 to an 88. Yes, it's a weird number. But I'm going to go with at least, say, a 55. So I would say it's above, it's an average, a little bit above, because I thought the three matches in the beginning were great. I still thought the ending of the matches, the winners were correct, at least for almost every match were the right winners. So I really can't argue on who won it. But I thought it was still a very good show. I think it's definitely a disappointing main event as far as high standards for a high build. So that's where I would go with that. So I would say it's a little above average.
Well, I'm going to take one more call.
$50.
We have one more call on the line, Will. I think you're about set on with the grade, but let's go to our 310 area code. Your name and location, please.
Hey, what's up, Aletta? This is Kay in New Los Angeles.
Hey, how you doing? How's everything going tonight?
Everything's going well tonight. Catch the pay-per-view. I had to call in on your inaugural show and see what's up. And, everything's there.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the phone call. We got about 50 seconds left. So you got anything to say? You got any final thoughts on SummerSlam?
It was a marginal show. It was adequate. I thought Triple H did the right thing in his match. I was a little upset that the PTPs lost to Kofi and R-Truth for the 8th millionth time. But, you know, everything else was what it was. I liked the main event, though, so. Like TLD just said, a little, slightly above average, but not much.
All right, well, thank you very much for your call. I do appreciate it. We're winding down on the debut episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. If you're interested, follow us on Twitter. Follow us right here at blogtalkradio.com. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for all your updates and information. We're winding it down. This is a great debut. I give SummerSlam a B grade. I thought it was solid from the beginning and then the end. you know, we got the right winner. So thank you for joining us here on PWP Radio. We do appreciate your support, and have yourself a great night.